This informative podcast is brought to you by the Health Ranger Store. Visit healthrangerstore.com/science for a selection of science-backed, laboratory-tested superfoods and nutritional products. Thank you for your support.
Mike Adams.
The amount of drugs that people take, it's absolutely shocking. Most people are on drugs.
The Health Ranger Report.
Everybody's worried about the zombie apocalypse. It's already here, people.
It's time for the Health Ranger Report.
The Health Ranger Report.
And now from naturalnews.com, here's Mike Adams.
I have some interesting good news for you today. I know that's unusual these days, but there's an interesting breakthrough in solid-state batteries, which looks like it could be a game-changer for our world. I'm going to explain why this is such a big deal. The company, I believe, is called Fisker, or Fiskers. I think it's Fisker. They have been working on solid-state battery technology for a number of years. They've had a lot of big funding because this is a big idea. It takes a lot of big science to make this happen. But you may wonder, well, what's a solid-state battery? Why does it matter? Okay, first of all, apparently, it has 2.5% higher energy density, which is the amount of energy per kilogram of battery mass. This is crucial for vehicles as well as eventually electric-powered airplanes. But more importantly, because of solid state, the entire battery can be charged, I've read, in as little as 1 minute. So instead of a 30-minute or a 3-hour charge time or something like that, we're talking about a 1-minute charge time, super fast. Like faster than filling up with gasoline, actually. Now, most batteries today are, of course, liquid. And battery technology is quite ancient. In fact, there's an ancient battery, I don't know if it's ancient Egyptian battery, a very simple battery that has been unearthed by archaeologists in the years past. And it was a functioning battery, and it would produce a current. And battery technology hasn't advanced that much since then, believe it or not. I mean, it's still the same basic concept. It's still liquid. It's still chemistry, just simple chemistry. And it has to do with how much energy you can pack into the chemistry, which requires liquid and solutions. And today, lead acid batteries are still very, very common, and they suck. Lead batteries absolutely suck. I use them on the farm. I've got them in my tractor. I've got them in farm equipment, I got a diesel lawnmower, I've got different farm equipment with diesel motors and batteries, and the batteries are all lead acid, and they're horrible. I'm thinking, this is crazy. There's no better battery technology. But apparently this solid state battery tech is a game changer. So it is really about replacing combustion engines completely, which has been one of the important goals, of many people who are concerned about pollution. And I want to distinguish environmentalism from pollution here, because, a lot of people talk about climate change and they think that carbon dioxide is bad, which is obscene and absurd and stupid. Carbon dioxide is wonderful for plants. It is food for plants. But I'm concerned about particulate pollution. I'm concerned about the lead that's still used in small aircraft fuel, for example. Yeah, they're burning lead all across the country, polluting the whole country with lead from airplanes. I'm concerned about the particulate pollution. I'm concerned about, sulfur dioxide and things like that from coal-fired power plants. I'm concerned about the mercury from coal. And so I'm concerned about the actual pollution. I'm not very concerned about carbon dioxide because I know that plants love it, and we have a shortage of carbon dioxide, and we're barely at 400 parts per million CO2 in the atmosphere right now. And if we had more, we would have more forestation, more lush rainforest, faster food production and plant growth, and reforestation of desert areas. So I'd love to see higher CO2, frankly, but I am opposed to combustion engines that pollute particulate matter or heavy metals into the environment. Now, this battery technology could replace combustion engines. Now, it would take a while. It might take 40 to 50 years, really, for that to happen. But the energy density and the safety of it, as well as the very rapid charge time, could make it economically feasible for batteries to replace combustion engines and not just passenger vehicles, but also long-haul transport trucks. That is huge because that's where a lot of energy is consumed right now in the form of diesel. And there's a lot of particulate pollution that takes place because of long-haul trucking. And also, of course, much of our economy depends on the long-haul truckers. And without them, our society would collapse in like a week. Really, we'd be out of food and clothing and fuel, everything. So thank God that we have long-haul trucking. But if we can make it greener and cleaner without the diesel, just using electric motors, then, you know, that can be a huge benefit. Now, I do want to talk about the idea of whether electric vehicles are actually greener and cleaner, since I sort of hinted at that. In truth, electric cars run mostly on coal because it's the coal-fired power plants that usually generate the electricity that's used to charge electric vehicles. So in many ways, electric vehicles aren't necessarily reducing the pollution in the aggregate, but they are shifting it outside the cities. In essence, they're exporting the pollution to the countryside instead of expending the pollution out of a tailpipe right there on the highway in a congested city, for example. So city people will love electric cars because it pushes pollution to the rural areas of the country, where city people don't have any clue of what's actually happening. And so as long as city people have clean skies in their city, they think the whole country's clean. They do the same thing with biosludge, by the way. They take all the human sewage and they call it fertilizer and they spread it on farms in rural America all across the country. It's called biosolids or biosludge. And the city people don't even think about where all their human feces actually goes. Well, it goes to the farm fields in the countryside where it poisons everything and destroys the ecosystem. But since the city people don't see it, they don't think about it. So we're going to have much the same thing initially with electric cars that are powered by coal. However, the other game changer that goes along with this kind of in handshake fashion is fusion energy. Fusion energy, there are so many great strides being made in fusion energy right now. I'm talking about small-scale fusion reactors. Like Lockheed Martin, for example, has one that apparently works. And it initially they said it fit on one tractor trailer rig, but now they say it's 3 times bigger. Anyway, it's still relatively small compared to nuclear power facilities, for example. But it turns mass into energy. So it's an actual fusion reactor where they can take, basically, I think they use heavy water. They use deuterium. I don't know what their fuel source is. Seawater, maybe. Surely it's a specialized, purified mass. But in any case, it doesn't take much mass. And they can, using this fusion technology, they can then convert that mass into usable electricity. And of course, if you're familiar with E equals mc squared, you know that just a little bit of mass generates a tremendous amount of electricity. So if you combine battery storage technology that I'm talking about here, the solid state storage tech, with the rollout of fusion electricity generators, then you actually have clean energy, you have clean transportation, you have clean vehicles at that point. Because as long as you have coal powering the electric vehicles, then electric vehicles aren't really green, are they? Because you're just burning coal, and they're just coal-powered cars. Although you don't see the coal, they're not burning coal under the hood, they're burning coal 100 miles out of town. But if you replace the coal with a fusion generator and you're converting, let's say, heavy water into energy, then that's clean. And it doesn't even require, by the way, radioactive fuel. You know, fusion generators, don't confuse them with nuclear generators like Fukushima using, you know, plutonium-239 and uranium and so on. That's totally different. Fusion generators don't use uranium, you know, radioactive isotopes of uranium or plutonium as fuel. Don't confuse those two. A lot of people confuse them. Fusion generators can turn essentially seawater into electricity. That's how they work. And there hasn't been a lot of talk about this, but there are like 3 or 4 big corporations that are just on the verge of rolling this out, you know, in the next, let's say, 20 years. So it's going to have a big, big impact. And it'll still, I mean, electricity won't be free, but it'll be cheap. The estimates that I read talked about electricity being sold out of these fusion generators for 4 cents per kilowatt hour. 4 cents. That's less than half of, I think, the nationwide average right now for electricity. So your electric bill will be cut in half, which means that driving electric vehicles will become, you know, almost half as expensive as it is currently in terms of the kilowatt hours that you have to put into batteries on your vehicle. Of course, you have other maintenance costs on these vehicles. You've got tires and brakes and, you know, all kinds of other things. But if the electricity drops in half in terms of the pricing, then one of your primary operating costs drops in half as well. So, you know, keep all that in mind. Now, one more chapter to all this that's worth exploring is, of course, battery-powered airplanes. Now, the reason battery-powered airplanes don't really exist right now, although there have been a few sort of pilot projects for very short-term aircraft that are battery-powered, but the reason it's not viable from a commercial standpoint, you know, flying passengers from New York to Los Angeles or New York to London, is because batteries don't have the energy density required to make those flights even physically feasible. Batteries have too much weight and not enough power, in other words. Whereas jet fuel, which is basically kerosene, by the way, kerosene has a tremendous amount of energy per kilogram of the kerosene. I don't know how many joules of energy it has. I don't know the exact number, but you can look it up if you want to. It's a big number. Whereas a battery, even a lithium ion battery, doesn't have that much output per weight of the battery. So the airplanes that exist today, you could not put enough batteries on an airplane to fly it under battery power alone from, let's say, New York to Los Angeles. The technology doesn't exist. And I've covered this even before. I've said you need to have at least a tenfold, but better yet, about a hundredfold increase in battery energy density in order to make commercial battery-powered aircraft viable. Now, this new solid-state battery technology from Fisker apparently is 2.5 times more energy dense than current batteries. So that's not enough to make air flights or commercial air travel viable on battery power alone, but it is a significant jump in the right direction. And maybe with some tweaking, maybe with some exotic materials, they can get that 2.5 times up to maybe 5 times. If you have 500% better energy density than current batteries, then you've got something to work with. And you could start seeing regional flights that are very inexpensive on relatively small, short duration aircraft that can be in the air for, let's say, an hour or less, something like that. That could start to happen in the next 25, 30 years, you know, pending FAA approval and all that. They have to do a lot of extensive safety testing on anything new like that, obviously. But you could also see then the rise of a lot of personal aircraft, which would probably look a lot like drones that are scaled up, like quadcopter drones, but with a seat. So you've got four motors that are powering the propellers, and you've got a centralized battery source, and then you have a seat as the pilot, and maybe with a sport aircraft license, which only requires about 20 hours of flight time, I believe, then you could go ahead and get a license to fly a small commuter drone that runs on battery power. That's very feasible in the next 20 years. You could definitely see that happen. And I don't know about you, but the thing I don't like about small aircraft, and I'm trained as a pilot, by the way, I used to fly Cessnas around, and I don't do it anymore. One reason is it's just too damn dangerous as far as I'm concerned, because all the wings are full of fuel. Yeah, the wings. Have you ever seen videos of the small aircraft, like little Cessnas, hitting the ground and exploding and killing the pilot? It's because the wings are filled with fuel. That's why. I mean, you can survive the impact, especially if they would put some airbags in some of those aircraft, which they don't do because it's useless at this point since you just burn up from the fuel. But if they could put airbags in them and have them battery powered, so the wings are full of batteries instead of, you know, explosive fuel, then you could actually survive a a crash. You could survive a lot of impacts. There'd be a lot fewer deaths of pilots and passengers from small aircraft crashes because, you know, you wouldn't, things just wouldn't go into a fireball. It's the fireball that kills you more than the impact. In any case, I don't fly small aircraft anymore. However, if there were like little human-sized drones where you could have a pilot seat, have a seat, you know, and just charge up your drone on your electric, your household electricity, you know, charge it for 10 hours and maybe you get like 10 minutes of flight time, that'd be pretty cool, right? It'd be a fun little thing for surveillance or, you know, rural properties. You're looking for your lost cows or whatever. And maybe you get more than 10 minutes of flight time. I don't know. But that kind of thing would be pretty seriously cool. And a lot of people could use them in cities for commuting once they figure out how to stop people from crashing into each other in those items. You'd have to have sort of, you know, highways in the sky, designated lanes of travel and different elevations or altitudes of travel. So, you know, like they do in small aircraft flying around. If you're flying at, you know, 14,000 feet, you're going west to east, or if you're going to 14,500 feet, you're going east to west, or so on. You know, they have this sorted out in the sky. I think they like to use the even numbers to go east to west, if I recall. I don't know. It's been a while since I flew, so I kind of forgot that. But they do have it worked out where you have different altitudes so that the planes going east to west or north to south don't collide with the ones going west to east or south to north. They do have that sorted out. So you can, because you got three-dimensional space now. You got corridors in the sky that you can make based on GPS coordinates and altitudes. So you can have all kinds of corridors in the sky for small aircraft or even human-sized drones to scoot around pretty safely, frankly. And you can have like corridor exit ramps in the sky. You can land on the rooftop of your bank if you're like a big banker, wealthy, rich, white banker commuter with your little drone. you can fly to the rooftop of your bank where you can just hop off your quadcopter and go in and serve your day as a parasite on the economy, you know? So I have to give a little nudge to the bankers there. But you see my point. Anyway, getting back to the science of all this, this battery breakthrough could be a very big deal. So hey, it could revolutionize transportation. Let's hope that this moves forward, because batteries suck the way they are today. Chemical batteries suck. And the fact that we have to use so much lead in batteries is also very environmentally damaging, very bad. So let's hope the battery technology moves forward. And then let's also hope that fusion energy becomes commercially viable and gets rolled out across America so we can replace the coal plants with fusion and just bypass the whole nuclear problem. So we don't have another Chernobyl or another Fukushima, just bypass that crap. And, you know, wind and solar just hasn't lived up to its promise. It's just not strong enough, you know? And the wind doesn't get generated when the wind's not blowing, obviously, and solar panels don't generate when it's cloudy or nighttime. But fusion can generate fusion 24/7. The mass to energy can happen all day, every day, you know, 365 days a year. So fusion is the future of energy production. You combine that with high-density batteries, now you've got a real green solution for the world. And I'm all in favor of that. So let's see where this goes. But thanks for listening. This is Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger. I'm the editor of naturalnews.com. And let's see, another great website where you can find out about all this future technology is discoveries.news. Check out discoveries.news to stay informed. Thank you for listening. Take care.
Learn more at healthrangerreport.com.
When it comes to real science behind nutritional supplements and personal care products, even superfoods and nutrients, nobody pays as much attention to what's in your products as we do at healthrangerstore.com. We have an in-house laboratory, ISO accredited. We do mass spec testing for heavy metals, herbicides like glyphosate, bacteria, microbiology testing, including E. coli and salmonella, yeast and mold, and others. we do extensive testing and we reject 80% of the raw materials lots that we test. And we only use the top 20% that pass our stringent requirements for ultra clean food, supplements, personal care products, and green living home products like eco-friendly laundry detergent, body soaps, dishwasher detergent, things for your home, things for your body, things that are good for the environment and good for you, and that we can verify through our science, because our position is we don't trust any supplier of raw materials. We've been in this industry for long enough to know that there's all kinds of organic fraud, counterfeit certifications, fake claims, and just a lack of basic testing out there. Heavy metals inundate the supply of superfoods, and even organics often will contain glyphosate and other toxic herbicides and pesticides. That's why we do this testing. We've learned not to trust any source in the industry, and that it takes determined, consistent testing to produce clean products. And that's why people shop with us. That's why we have over 100,000 customers at healthrangerstore.com who have come to trust us, to trust our lab testing, to know that we provide the world's cleanest foods, supplements, and superfoods using today's best science. The best, the most expensive scientific instruments in the world, triple quad mass spectrometry, ICP-MS for heavy metals analysis. We also have single quad mass specs and other instruments, time of flight, tandem mass spec time of flight instrument, and other things. To get our lab tested products, just go to healthrangerstore.com/science. That's healthrangerstore.com/science. There you'll find hundreds of products that have been laboratory tested, verified, for your safety and efficacy and product honesty. Again, that URL, type it into your browser, is healthrangerstore.com/science. We do extensive testing, like no one. No one does this, and especially not Amazon, where they sell products that are loaded with toxic lead and high levels of aluminum that are off the charts that you can't even believe. I mean, if you want to eat lead and aluminum, buy supplements from Amazon. But if you want good science-backed clean food and clean supplements, you get that from healthrangerstore.com. That's what people have come to know us for providing, and that's why people keep coming back to us. We are dedicated to this testing, and we continue to make investments in our laboratory facilities to bring you the cleanest, most verified nutritional products in the world. No one else does what we do. No one. We are leading the world in clean food, and you can take advantage of that right now at healthrangerstore.com. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. I thank you for your support. There's much more to come. The more you support us, the more we can produce content to help educate the world and uplift people through natural solutions based on nutrition and superfoods, disease prevention, cognitive enhancement, anti-aging technology, and much more. Thank you for your support.